Okay. Judge Conklin?
I'm present.
Judge Clark?
Here.
Judge Getty? Judge Kamilkarian?
Here.
Thank you. Judge Kelly?
Here.
Thank you. Judge Siebert informed us he'd be absent today. Mr. Finke?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Kim informed us he'd be absent today. Ms. Levier?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Riley?
Here.
Mr. Slayton?
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi?
Here.
And Mr. Yamasaki?
Yes, present.
Thank you.
Excellent. Good to see everybody on board. Thanks so much, folks, for taking the time. Just a few quick matters before we get into the substance of today's meeting. We do have minutes to approve from our October 25th FMS meeting. I'd invite them, and you all have those minutes, I'd invite a motion to approve.
Neil Taniguchi moves.
Neil, thank you. Is there a second?
Judge Clark, I'll second.
Judge, thanks so much. Moved and seconded the minutes be approved. I paused. I hear no opposition. I'll deem the minutes approved. And Rose, I just want to make sure there were no public comments received for today's meeting.
That's correct. No public comment received.
Excellent. Great. So let's get into it. So this meeting, I think, can best be described as, planning for the worst, hoping for the best. We do recognize that given the governor's budget, the updates that Zlatko has given us on that budget and where we appear to be going, that things might not be getting better for us. And lessons learned from the past, our hope is to be prepared for that as it comes. Not in hope that it comes, but in anticipation that it might come. And so FMS has been very effective in the past of doing this, of developing some definitions and some plans that we can institute if in fact a cut does come. If Zlatko is here, Zlatko would remind us that nothing's happened yet. The governor will have a May revise and then a final budget at the end of June. The initial budget that came out did not have cuts in it. But the prevailing view is that might not last long. David was in a meeting today. Maybe he can fill us in a little bit later if we have some time as to whether or not there were any indications from that meeting about whether or not cuts are coming. But be it this year or next, I think it's pretty realistic to plan that cuts are coming. So that's the purpose of today's meeting. We're going to take it in two parts. First, we're going to talk about some definitions and the workload formula. And then we're going to talk about perhaps allocation methodologies for those cuts. Chad, as co-chair of this, has been extremely helpful along with Rose, Zlatko, Fran, everybody else in developing some materials. I thank him for that. So rather than confuse the issue any further, I'm going to turn it over to Chad to take us away on item number one. Chad?
Thanks, Judge. So in talking about what the future may hold, I think that we felt like at this point, the two sort of most likely paths, the two most likely paths would be best case scenario, we end up with a flat budget, which is what the governor has proposed through the January budget proposal. And worst case scenario is we take some level of cuts. And so this first agenda item, which Oksana is going to take us through in just a second, but the first one is sort of It is part and parcel with if we end up with a flat budget. So that is to say, if the allocations from trial courts remain the same this year as they were last year, what do we do with that? And in order to answer that question, we sort of need to look at the CPI funding that we've received for the last few years and decide whether that CPI funding should or should not be considered quote unquote new money. And that determination then would potentially impact the application of the workload formula's policy for how we redistribute funding in a flat year. So this agenda item number one is sort of the flat year discussion. Agenda item two will be the cut year. Cut budget agenda item. So with that, I will turn it to Oksana to take us through the presentation for this item.
Thank you, Mr. Finke. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Oksana Tak. I am a senior analyst with Budget Services. Item number one is an overview of definitions for funding allocations to the trial courts, as outlined in the workload formula policy that was approved by the Judicial Council back in January 2018. The materials begin on page 5, if you want to follow along. The definitions apply when there is new money, no new money, or reductions included in the final budgets for the trial courts. Specifically, new money is defined as any new ongoing allocation of general discretionary dollars to support costs of trial court workload, excluding funding for benefits and retirement increases. Examples of funding that have been allocated as new money utilizing the workload formula methodology include the new judgeship funding in 2019-20 and equity funding, civil assessment backfill funding, and new judgeship funding in 22-23. In the last 3 fiscal years, the budget included a consumer price increase adjustment known as a CPI, to address trial court operational cost increases due to inflation. This funding was intended to benefit all courts, and therefore it was not allocated per workload formula methodology. Rather, it was allocated proportionally by applying the CPI percentage increase to the prior year workload formula allocation for each court. In making the determination to allocate the CPI increase in that manner, the council did not specifically address whether the CPI increase on their own meet the definition of new money. So today the committee is asked to determine if CPI adjustments should be considered new money, which could potentially impact the application of the workload formula policy for redistribution of funding in years when there is no new money included in the final budget for the trial courts. The recommendation is located on page 9 of the meeting materials. And that concludes our presentation. We're happy to take any questions you may have.
Judge Conklin, you're muted. Judge Conklin?
There you go. Oh, no, you muted it back.
Judge, you're still muted.
There you go. Am I back?
You're back.
Sorry, I had to keep pushing the button. So I just wanted to clarify, Zlatko has been able to join us. Zlatko, thanks for joining us. And Judge Mormon is also here. We always appreciate her presence. So those folks are also present on the meeting. Now that I've clarified that, questions for Oksana or for any of us about the whether or not CPI we want to include is new money or thoughts? Somebody's got to have a thought. David, your hand's up. Go ahead. You're muted.
Yes, thank you very much. As I understand it, and I just want to take us back to part of the discussion that we had about a year ago, the thought that I had was that the CPI funding would be considered new funding, such that it would be subject to the workload formula distribution proposal. And what does that mean? Well, recall that when we receive new money, we take 50% of that amount, and then we distribute it to those courts below the average and the other 50% to everybody. And I think after a good hearty discussion, the conclusion was that CPI funding was not considered new money. It was obviously monies that we recognize would be helpful to all of the courts, given you know, the ongoing increases that we experience, and that was not considered new money. So I remember the conversation. I'm sure everybody else does, but I just wanted to, you know, express my understanding of what happened when CPI was being examined in terms of the approach for distribution. So that was my takeaway. I just wanted to offer that.
Thanks, David. Lockhart, do you want to add something?
Yeah, just I on CPI, I think when it was initially approved in the budget, and I think there's two questions here. There was one is how should it be allocated? But in terms of whether it was new money or not, I don't know if we had gotten to that point when we first got it, we got that funding approved. And there was some debate and even an initial recommendation from this committee to look at it as a workload formula distribution. But we were reminded that the way in which we've asked for the money was that all courts would benefit from it. And so I think that has been the then understanding of how that money is to be allocated versus discretionary funding that had no strings, and so to speak. So, I mean, I think that we last year when we talked about some funding allocations, we were discussing the civil assessment funds and whether or not they were impacting equity. But I'm trying to recall how we, if we asked this question about CPI, about new money or not money, more so about the overall issue of the path to equity, because CPI doesn't necessarily advance equity since everybody is being dealt with the same. So again,
I'm not disputing
David's recollection, but rather some finer points about how it is that is, but maybe that's why we're asking the question, maybe David, is that I don't know if we at the staff level think that that decision about whether it's new money or not new money has been answered and asked explicitly, because CPI wasn't envisioned in 2018 when the workload formula was updated and created this no new money scenario where there would be some level of continued equity.
Right. And Judge Getty, did you have a comment? You're muted again, but I thought you had a comment.
And I didn't want to interrupt, so I muted myself so I would not interrupt. But, you know, CPI is to continue the status quo, so it's not new money. And I agree with Zlatko, though, that maybe we didn't express that finding, but we all discussed it, that CPI is really to maintain the status quo and reflects the increase in costs that we all are experiencing. I'm prepared to vote now that CPI is not new money.
Okay, I appreciate that. And on that note, by the way, folks, this is an action item. Doesn't mean we have to take action on it today if we decide we want more information, but it is technically an action item at least to consider today. So playing off of what Judge Getty just commented on, what Zlatko said, if I understand it correctly, and that was my recollection as well, was this was intended to go, the CPI was intended to go to all the courts to address costs that all courts have year in and year out, regardless of budget going up or budget going down. And therefore, the intention was that it essentially be treated the same by all courts. And Zlatko, was it your, as I interpret what you're saying, was it that if we treated it as new money, then that might not be actually true to the intent that the funds were intended to benefit all courts?
Well, I think that, this is the thing, is that we're now 6 years on from when the workload formula was updated and considered this new banding of no new money and moving towards equity, and CPI didn't exist at that time. And so if I'm trying to sort of respond to your question, is you can still ask the question about CPI being new money, not new money, because I think the report doesn't speak to equity. It sort of is a pretty general statement about funding available for allocation, without maybe the specifics that's going to court reporters or dependency counsel or things like that. Fundamentally, I think that the question is it or isn't it new money, however it may be allocated?
David, your hand's up. Go ahead.
Thanks, Judge Conklin. I don't have a whole lot to add, so this will be brief, except to say I agree wholeheartedly with what's already been said, for the reasons that have been said, which is CPI money is really just to allow us to somewhat stay at level. And so really, I think those of us, if we see a flat budget this year, because we're not getting CPI, it feels as if there's a cut. So a CPI is really to just keep us level. So I don't think I would. I would also adamantly agree that it's should not be considered as new money.
All right. Other thoughts?
This is Judge Kelly. I'm sorry, I'm phoning in. I agree with the statements just made about it not being new money, and I agree with Judge Getty's statement earlier in the conversation.
Great, Judge Kelly. And David Yamasaki, was that your also thought? I mean, you started off by saying initially there was a discussion that it was new money, and then with the discussion was it? So I just want to make sure you had an opportunity to express your opinion clearly.
Yeah, no. And obviously I did not. I just wanted
just to provide
a background history of what happened last budget discussion, the time frame. And it aligns very much with what's been said in the fact that it's not, we're not viewing it as new money as we've historically dealt with that particular appropriation. So I'm in agreement.
I just want
to make sure that's the way everybody understood.
Because what's important is there were times when we got CPI and we got what was considered new money from the traditional view and allocated via the workload formula or addressed equity as an example. So as I think the report describes how some sets of money were, last year was a year in which there was no workload equity funding, purely just CPI. And therefore there wasn't this question needing to be asked of in a budget as proposed with no new money at all, be it CPI or otherwise, where are we? And we as staff wanted to make sure that the committee has deliberated and discussed it because we're not the ones that want to make that decision, nor are the chairs, Judge Conklin and Chad, to just decide that this is what the definition is. That's why we're bringing it to you, not to argue one way or the other, but really to bring the facts and the history and let the committee discuss it.
Okay, I appreciate that. So it looks, I've tried to give everybody a chance to express any other thoughts. I think we're ready to take this to a vote if there's a motion, but if anybody has anything else they'd like to express or discuss before I invite a motion, I'll look for hands or listen for voices. David, you're speaking. Are you, David Kelmakaran, you're speaking, but you're muted. Are you speaking to us?
I'm mute. There we go. Can you hear me now?
Sure can.
May I briefly speak?
Absolutely.
So here's the thing. It seems like people are hesitant to call the CPI money new money because they don't want it to go through the workload formula. But in its purest form, it seems like the CPI money it's new money. It's money that didn't exist before. It's money that we didn't have before. It's not intended to go to any specific expense, but it's seemingly simply to cover, you know, costs of doing business that go up. So I don't have a problem with if a different decision is made in terms of how the CPI money is allocated, I don't have a problem with that, but just in its purest sense, it seems like it is new money.
May I respond to that, though, Judge Kelmakaran?
Yeah.
I think it does matter how CPI is allocated, because in building an appropriation, when we ask for money in a certain way, for example, the BCPs that we've submitted for CPR are indicated to be are requested that all courts will get that funding. To then have it allocated differently undermines our ability to argue for additional funding. So there is a critical value in aligning how we asked for money in a budget and allocating it by the council. So it's not that simple as just to say it could be once we receive it and it's called CPI, that it goes however we'd like. And that was the issue in the very first year, was that there was the desire to go through the workload formula, but that was not how it was asked. And so the representations to both the governor and the legislature about the intent of the funding needed to be honored. So I think it's an important point that it's not just absolutely our authority to do this. There are implications on our advocacy for future funding that we align how we ask and how we allocate that way.
Got it.
Neil, your hand was up. Did you have a comment? You're muted.
Yes, the way I look at it is that CPI funding is intended to make sure that courts can support the workload allocation they're already being provided to support the existing workload of theirs. So, you know, it's to prevent you from backsliding from being able to support that workload. So that's why I think of it the same way as others, that it should be based upon keeping you whole and to be able to support the workload that you're allocated your money for, at least the new money that you're given.
Excellent, thanks. All right, so I think, I don't see any other hands up. And all those are obviously very, very important comments to consider. If it's time for a motion or folks feel they need more time, we can put this over, but if folks are comfortable, I'd invite a motion.
I'll make the motion.
All right, Judge Getty moves, and your motion is to approve the well, we don't have a specific recommendation, so.
Well, I can make it very simple. I move that we treat CPI as not new money.
Clear enough.
Riley will second.
Who seconded that?
Riley.
Great. Moved and seconded that new money, that, pardon me, CPI funding provided to the branch is not designated as new money for the purpose of workload funding. Is that what you intended, Judge Getty?
Sure.
Okay.
You made it sound better.
Never. Thanks. All right. It's moved and seconded. So now it's open for further discussion or questions before I call for a vote. Any further discussion?
Judge Conklin.
Yes, Fran.
This is Fran Miller. May I make a comment? The current workload policy formula has a very specific definition of no new money. Is the motion also to ensure that that definition is clarified to reflect CPI?
In other words,
or it's the exclusion of CPI?
So you want it to be a policy decision that we, any increases associated with consumer price index are not deemed to be new money for purpose of allocating funds to the courts. Does that get you to your
I'm simply suggesting that the current definition, perhaps in the context of this conversation, may not be clear.
Current definition of what?
New money.
So, but that's what we're trying to now define. So what is it that you're suggesting we say to make it more clear?
Are you actually saying that the policy would be revised and adjusted to reflect this action?
Yes. Does that give you what you need?
Yes, thank you, Judge Conklin. I just wanted to make sure that the action would then, we would go in and make a proposed change to that definition for clarification.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dad, very
anything
much.
You wanted to add before I call for the final vote? You're muted. Nothing you want to add?
I think that was to you, Chad.
Chad, there's nothing you want to add?
Nothing I want to add. Sorry, I didn't hear who you were calling on, Judge.
I guess I was calling on everybody, but you especially. Okay. So thanks, Fran, for that clarification. I think that gives us the language we need. It's been moved and seconded that, in fact, what Fran just said is our decision. Any opposition to that motion? Looks like everybody is, I hear no no's, I see no negative nods. I'm going to deem the motion unanimously approved that, in fact, CPI funding from a policy decision and from the workload decision is not deemed new money or is not new money. Okay, great. Thank you all. That moves us to item number two.
If I might just understand, though, that also the what I believe is included in the report is that if it's not new money and we have these 2 years of no new money, that then this incremental equity movement is part of what is envisioned. And so I certainly can move on. I just want to make sure that that's clear to folks that that means that based on the new workload formula percentages, that there would be some allocation reductions to some courts, assuming that there are no new additional reductions in the budget, that there would be a shifting of funding from some courts to others above and below the bands, as the report describes. I want to make sure that that is then the implication of that decision, the recommendation that you're making to take back, that would be what is followed. It's not just it's a definitional issue, it's that allocations will be impacted.
But they would be either way, right? I mean, right. I think that's our decision. But if we decided to describe it as new money, allocations would be impacted as well.
No, you would. They would stay flat. There wouldn't be a reason to change because there's the no new money in the next year. If we count this year's allocations are completed, next year is a year of no new money at all. And if we count CPI as a no new money year, then we've reached our 2-year threshold to make allocation changes. There would not have been any changes absent this clarification that CPI is not new money.
David, you have your hand up.
Yeah, I wanted to. Am I muted? No, yeah, I wanted to talking. Say. Yeah, I wanted to say that I think it's important for us to adhere to principles.
Right.
That we, irrespective of what can happen next year, because we still don't know what the final budget decision is going to be made, and just to kind of put it in context, for some of us who recall the terminology, this is the trigger. When we have 2 years, not necessarily consecutively, but 2 years of no new funding, then there's a trigger that the Judicial Council can consider in determining what the allocations will be to the different courts. So again, I just want to make sure that we try to adhere to the policy decisions that we're going to be making, irrespective of how we're individually going to be affected. So that's the significance that I just wanted to make sure that gets, you know, recognized as we start.
No, that's a great point, David. And only so much as I want to make sure people understand that the trigger that is from the recommendation and the action that you're taking now results in these allocation changes. And we and again, in people preparing for next year, that there's those that are above and in certain bands that they can see sort of where they might be, will have a change to their allocations. I'm raising it not for the purposes of arguing against it. It's rather awareness. Part of the value of this open process is that our court family could hear and see this and be aware of what the implications are of us following the policy, as you've said, David. It's correct in terms of, but once you have to make the definition of new money clear, then we can then move to the next phase of what that would look like as far as the adjustments to allocations.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, the point is we shouldn't change our policy just because that policy might have implications.
No, absolutely not.
That's what policies are all about.
We have so many new folks, judges, you know, and who may not be familiar with the trigger that David has described. And this is we're always looking as an opportunity for education and awareness for new court leadership.
Yep.
I make a comment?
Sure, David, go ahead.
So at page 6 of 13, where the definition of new money is, it says new money is defined as any new ongoing allocation of general discretionary dollars to support cost of trial court workload, excluding funding for benefits and retirement increases. So are we then basically going to be changing the definition of new money by inserting a phrase and excluding CPI? Because the whole point I was trying to make earlier was, is CPI, does that actually fall within the current definition of new money at page 6? And if it does, then somehow we have to exclude it, right?
And that was Fran's question.
That's what I understand Fran to be suggesting.
Yeah.
So we'll just add excluding CPI to a new money definition. That's a good suggestion, David.
Right. And I think that's really important, and to echo David's comment, that we are consistent. I mean, not only consistent with how we've allocated the CPI for the last 2 years that we've received that, but also consistent that we made that determination for how it would be allocated with the trigger provisions in place. And so we're consistent both when the impact of what we do is what we'd like to see, or even when the impact of what is going to happen might hurt.
Exactly.
And that consistency is critical for the confidence in this process.
Yep, it has served us well in the past and will continue to serve us well if we remain consistent to our policy. Yep. So do we need, Fran or Zlatko, do we need a motion on that? Or is that part of the motion that we just, I just want to make sure we're thorough here and give you everything you need.
The allocation component or the verbiage?
The verbiage.
I think we, for clarity, I think it'd be good to not just define what it is that we just did in terms of what CPI is, but also amending the definition. Because again, it wasn't contemplated when the definition was developed. Things have changed. So incorporating the recommendation of the committee would make sense.
Okay. Just as the moving party, I felt like I incorporated that after Fran's comments.
Yeah.
Which were to change our policy to reflect that CPI is not considered new money. And Judge Clark hit it the nail right on the head, which is we have to be consistent whether it hurts us or helps us. I'm a county that's underfunded. I am saying let's be consistent whether it hurts us or helps us so that we all have the same expectations as we move forward for our budgets.
Great. Then let's just be thorough. Who seconded Judge Getty's motion?
I think that was
Riley.
Brandon. So I just want to make sure that everybody anticipated, because I don't think I've actually called for a final vote on the motion. So the motion would include the language that CPI is excluded as new money. Brandon, was that your intention when you seconded?
That it was.
Great. Any additional discussion on this issue? Any opposition to now the final motion as pending before this committee? I hear no opposition. As the chair, I'll deem that motion unanimously approved. Great discussion. And let's hope the next one is as vibrant. And that gets us, we have half an hour left. We're right on time. That gets us to item number two, which is now the discussion of the workload policy for allocation methodologies for potential funding reductions, which we've prefaced, but now we'll get into. Chad?
Thanks, Judge. So yeah, I mean, obviously not a conversation that any of us relishes, but I think Judge Conklin and I, in preparing for this meeting, felt like, you know, we need to be realistic and better to have the conversation early rather than trying to scramble at the last minute. You know, obviously we do not have any proposed budget cuts in front of us. We have not asked staff to run any scenarios with actual numbers, but this is really more at sort of a policy level, to echo what someone said earlier, which is if we do see a reduction, and it's a non-specified reduction in the budget, from a policy perspective, how do we think we should address such a reduction? And so, we did ask staff to come up with some different alternatives, and they are in the materials. And I believe Oksana is going to walk us through that again.
Yes. Thank you again, and good afternoon again. My name is Oksana Tak, the senior analyst with Budget Services. So agenda item number two considers workload formula allocation methodologies for potential funding reductions that could be included in the final budget for the trial courts. The item begins on page 10 of your materials. The current workload formula policy states that allocations in fiscal years for which a budget reduction must be implemented will be addressed as needed, with special consideration towards those courts below the statewide average funding level. Two recent examples of funding reductions occurred in 2020-21 and in 23-24. The 2020 Budget Act included $167.8 million reduction to the trial court baseline funding due to the sizable budget deficit projected as a result of COVID-19 pandemic. In 23-24, the civil assessment backfill amount decreased by $10 million to $100 million ongoing. And additionally, the debt services obligation payment of $2.5 million, as approved by the council, resulted in a total reduction of $12.5 million. The methodology for these two reductions are described in pages 10 and 11 in the meeting materials. Possible reduction allocation options for deliberation today include a pro rata reduction, a reverse workload formula equity reduction with a reduction limitation, any reverse workload formula equity reduction without a deduction limitation via establishing a funding band. Detailed description again of those options presented on page 12. So today the committee is asked to consider the various options for allocation methodologies for potential future funding reductions for the trial courts and to make recommendation for the consideration by the trial court budget advisory committee. So that concludes our presentation and we're happy to take any questions you may have.
Oksana, thanks so much. So that starts our discussion, folks. And I remind you, as we have with all these important decisions, and we intentionally did not present a number scenario to you because we really have to stay with policy here. And we were concerned that even by giving a hypothetical number scenario, it's going to drive the discussion. And we really, I think, as either Judge Getty or I think Judge Clark emphasized in our last discussion, we really have to be true to policy here. So with that opening the discussion and the three options set forth, thoughts about what our policy should be if we confront the reductions. I'm looking for hands. David, go ahead, Slayton.
Thank you very much. And thanks for the great materials for background. I think I sort of like the current policy, which is to address the issues as they come up. The two examples provided in the materials provide vastly different scenarios, which would be potentially the issue going forward. And so I think it's hard to sit here today and predict the next 5 years and what reductions might look like and make a policy that would be one that would fit every scenario. And I think the providing the committee the ability to have flexibility to address the issues as they come up makes the most sense to me. I know that might not be super predictable by the courts, but I think based upon the vastness of the potential scenarios, it makes sense to give the flexibility to address them as they come up.
All right, David, thank you. Other thoughts? So is your, to summarize your comment, David, is your suggestion that in fact we do not create a policy at this time as to what to do with budget cuts?
Yeah, I think the description was that the current policy is we address them as they come up. And I would say that we shouldn't have a policy that adopts one of these funding methodologies to adopt reductions, but instead create or adopt a methodology as those reductions occur.
All right, thank you. Judge Clark, your hands up.
Well, I think I would, I'd agree with David from the standpoint that I think once we see what the May revise brings and how dramatic the change in the governor's proposed budget may be, it gives us a better idea of where we are. But I do think it's important for us to recognize that by making the choice that we just made with regards to CPI, we've taken out a significant source of funding that helps to continue to address the equity issues that exist between the courts. And therefore, I would say that going forward, I would not be in support of a pro rata reduction allocation, because I think that then is potentially going to even further negatively impact the under-resourced courts. And so I think it's important that we recognize that while the Judicial Council may have voted to change equity from being the primary focus of the budget allocation formula, equity is still part of that allocation formula. And we need to allocate these reductions in a way that do not, you know, more significantly negatively impact the under-resourced courts or fail to promote that Judicial Council objective of continuing to address the equity funding gap among the courts. So whether that's the reverse workload formula with a limitation or the one without, I think there remains debate for that. And I think based on David Slayton's comments, those may be discussions we want to consider once we have a better idea where we are. But I would not be in support of the pro rata reduction allocation, because I think that is going to exacerbate the problem.
Great, thank you. Chad, and then Judge Getty.
Thanks, Judge. So much like Judge Clark, you know, sort of expressed a concern with pro rata, I have a similar concern about what we have labeled as 2B, which would be the reverse equity without a limitation. And I'd, I would just say to that, you know, as this group and TICBAC and our predecessors on those groups were sort of trying to come up with something that would work, you know, the balance was always between equity on the one hand and then sort of predictability and volatility on the other, which is why I think, you know, 2A at it kind of, I believe, tries to address both of those. I mean, it certainly recognizes the equity gaps that still exist, but it also would put some limit in there. So much like if this is a flat year, as we just discussed, right, and we do a reallocation, we know under the methodology that the council approved back in 2018, courts above the band that come down, they're limited in how much they can come down. I think it's 1% in any given year. And I think that is, I think for courts above the band, certainly, I think those courts understand, you know, you may need to come down in an effort to improve equity. But it would be hard for me to get behind a model where we could go back to what I consider to be the bad old days, where you might come down 3, 4, 5, 10% in a year, because cuts at that level become very difficult for courts to manage. So I do have some concerns about 2B, just for whatever that's worth.
Great. And Judge Getty?
So I very much appreciate the not giving the numbers, examples, or hypotheticals, but I actually think we needed hypotheticals. And I'm thinking back to our experience with the CPI, with the reallocation of the civil assessments and the idea that it was going to be implemented using WAFM. And then we actually saw the real numbers of how this huge swing, you know, I can't remember what Alameda lost, like $5 million. I mean, just ginormous swings, which is a legal term of art, that a court really could not plan around and could not absorb. And so, you know, if we have some kind of cap on a formula, that I could get behind, that we all agree you can absorb. Judge Clark, again, I'm big on Judge Clark today, but she's saying all the things that I agree with, which is this. We have to talk about the elephant in the room, which is we are not making progress on the equity, right? And I know that we have this 2-year mark where we're going to readjust. And it's super easy to readjust in years where we have money, but now we're going to readjust in years when we don't have money. And so that's sort of the flip side of the same coin. I do think pro rata does not work. It's not intrinsically fair to the folks that aren't equitably funded. But I can appreciate that we cannot plan around giant swings in budgets, and there has to be some sense to it all. So I actually think that our committee might benefit from having some numbers to see what that looked like, because then in a scenario where there's no new money, and this might just be really what Mr. Slayton was saying, is like, we gotta wait till we actually see the scenario. But to appreciate what, you know, 1% means to LA and 2% means to Alameda and 3%, what those giant swings are, I think is important for our decision-making.
Thanks, Judge Getty. Zlatko?
Yeah, thank you, Judge. In terms of the numbers, we weren't even able to do them now because we don't have the updated need from Leah's team. So that's an impediment. And we're very concerned that going out with the scenario of last year's need, people see numbers, they hear it from today, they don't realize it's draft, and then we come out with final numbers when, you know, the final numbers are available, and they are different, and they've been planning to something that they didn't notice the draft. So this is just from experience that I've seen that. And I think, you know, as much as we want to be helpful there, so I would be cautious about us. We need to get that from Leah's team. And I know that they're working on that right now. Some of the data doesn't come until the spring, especially from the feds, and they're trying to gather that up, number one. And then number two, maybe to David Slayton's point, is I don't think the intention was that this was a act now for the next 5 years policy, but rather thinking early and debating like we're having here to potentially be in a place that if and when the May revision, we've had the education, which I think is key, and then we've had the discussion, because if and when at May revision there is something, the time needed to have had these deliberations will be so short. So this gives us at least the benefit of planning and thinking. So again, it was not, I don't think the intention, and you know, I know we've been talking to Judge Conklin and Chad, is this was to discuss in the event, but not to change the policy that this is the policy going forward. It's just, you know, we have 3 months from now when the May revision comes out. Is it 3 months, 2.5 months when it comes out? And already have had this conversation. Whether an action needs to be taken now, you know, maybe later, but I think it was to us as staff is that you've been having this conversation, you've been educated on the history, and then you have an opportunity to discuss it and debate it. And I think I'll stop at that.
Great. I see David's hand up. I'll just sort of continue to sort of steer us where it looks like we're going. And that is, I don't see any voices in support of the pure pro rata approach if there were to be a reduction. And I do hear concerns that there should be some type of limitation that Chad has discussed if there is a reduction within the band so that courts have the ability to plan. Not that we're going there yet, but it seems that most folks are sort of focusing on that. But now to David Yamasaki. David, get your hand up.
Yes, thank you very much. So I wanted to, I guess, echo what others have said and put a kind of an exclamation point or underscore something that Zlatko mentioned. And I'm hopeful that we don't make a decision today as it relates to what specifically we're going to do going forward, because there's a lot in play. And I have the unfortunate privilege of being at courts that were above the average, like well above the average, and now finding myself well below the statewide average. And one of the things that I absolutely support is making sure that we can create some sort of glide path if courts are going to be experiencing significant reductions, either because there are going to be big budget cuts or because a policy decision is going to be made, how reductions are going to be applied, which could be severe for some and maybe less so for others, depending on where they are in the grand scheme of, you know, funding levels. So maybe as what was mentioned by Zlatko, we take the information, we, you know, noodle on it. And as the time comes up where we have to make these sorts of decisions definitively, we recognize that we cannot, you know, cause courts because they're unfortunately going to have to take such a massive portion of a reduction and cause them to take very drastic steps that would, you know, stifle their ability to perform the work day in and day out. But we all recognize we're in it together. The last time we went through this, what we ended up doing was getting closer or huddling together in our funding levels so as not to severely disadvantage courts that would ultimately have to shut down perhaps because they just are making, receiving such severe reductions. So again, talking points, consideration points, let's try to, you know, create a little bit of a glide path where we have to make some adjustments, but also recognizing the fact that some courts are well below the statewide average, and we don't want to disadvantage them either. So good talking opportunity right now before we have to make some decisions, hopefully not, but we also recognize that we're really working as a branch, not as individual courts, to make sure that we aren't unduly harmed if we can all avoid it. So those are really the points that I wanted to make.
Those are good points, David. Thank you. And I, in the sense of a decision, this is an action item, but we don't have to take action on it today at all. But Chad and I thought it was very important to get this before this fundamental committee, because everything flows up from us, so that we are now all sort of in a ballpark. I don't know if we're in the same ballpark. It sounds like we are, but we're in the ballpark to move forward with this discussion when time demands that we do, because we're getting there. And we, Chad and I thought we don't want to just sit back and wait until June 30th and say, what do we do now? I think we've been able to accomplish that today by saying, okay, it looks like, not to speak for the group, but I think we have a better focus on where we may anticipate going if those cuts, when and if those cuts come our way. So Chad, I don't know what your thoughts are. One thing we can do is simply agree to continue this discussion for our next FMS meeting when we have more information, either post or pre May revise. That new information is always ongoing.
What are folks? I think that's right. I see Judge Clark has her hand up too, so yeah. I don't want to step on
Judge
that.
Clark, can you speak so then Judge Getty can agree with you?
Well, being new to this committee, while I don't want to, I think it's really critical not to make a decision based on what's the impact to a particular court. This is a policy-wide decision that impacts the courts as a whole. But is it possible that we could get a hypothetical example of what the implication would be of 2A versus the implication of 2B? Because I can read this description and try to analyze how I think that would play out. But I wonder if it's possible for this committee to be presented just with a hypothetical scenario of how a similar a hypothetical court with at a funding level above, within, and below the band would be impacted by 2A or 2B, and just plug in hypothetical numbers and apply the formula to all three. Is that possible? I don't know if it is.
It is mathematically possible, but not until at least we first get the information from our friends at OCR. But I caution you that while the numbers have value, a scenario picking a number also may have repercussions in what the legislature and the Department of Finance are looking at. It's like, well, look, they've now solved this problem. They haven't figured out a way to do it. There's also that strategy, but I know that this is a public meeting, but I also think it's okay to say that we need to be cautious about how we approach, especially as we're working on ways to avoid these kinds of reductions actively as well. So I want to be direct about it and give you the right advice and cautions on where we are. But yes, we can. But again, I saw folks agreeing that when you put out a scenario, someone will try to figure out which court they are, and then they'll think that is what will happen. And we also have the compounding of the running of the no new money banding. That means that these would be additive unless you decide otherwise, because that's something that we didn't discuss is if the no new money scenario is happening, then that means that there's a already reduction to those above, to those that are below, and then you're going to add on a potential reduction. It could be additive unless you suspend the redistribution approach because of the reduction.
So Judge Gedeas, I completely appreciate your perspective, and we've talked about that before, and the concern that has come about is those. It sort of becomes a catch-22 because we develop a policy and then we come up with numbers and we say, oh, we didn't know that was going to happen. So mm-hmm. We found it more productive to zero in on a policy. And then as a potential, once we have that policy, we could run numbers and say, hold on a minute. Was there a surprise here that we didn't know about by running these numbers on the policy we've decided? But I think we're all in agreement, at least from what Zlatko's saying, is regardless, we can't run numbers today because we don't have the information to run the numbers.
And I could appreciate that we might need a formula that we all agree a court cannot have a 5% swing in their budget in a single year.